the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? We have a few written requests. Request from Sister Carol. Said, please pray for my aunt. She's 82 years old. She broke her leg in three places and is in the hospital not feeling well. So let's remember that request this morning. We know God is mindful. Also, Brother Claude, we'd like to thank you this morning. Give thanks to the Lord Jesus and kept them for the trip they took to Kentucky. So we thank the Lord for that. Amen. Also, we want to remember our pastor this morning. The Lord will just continue to be with him, Brother Daniel and Brother Ron and Brother Terry and Sister Vicki, and also Sister Debbie Miller, I believe, is in the hospital this morning and not feeling well. So let's remember her in our prayers. And also we want to remember Sister Haven this morning, that the Lord will just touch her today. Amen. We know that God is mindful of every request this morning. So if you have something on your heart, just make it known by that uplifted hand. God sees what our needs are today. And we want to ask him to be with us in the remainder of the service today too. How many need the Lord this morning? Just a touch from him, just one touch, will make all the difference this morning. Brother George, come this morning, lead us in prayer.
Feels good in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. It's nice outside. It's even nicer inside here. Amen. I was on the way to church this morning. Heard this from the prophet. I thought I'd share it with you. He said, prayer changes things. It's the most powerful force that God ever put in the hands of man is a sincere prayer offered to God. Amen. Amen. That's a promise to us this morning. Amen. Can we pray to him sincerely today now? Heavenly Father, Lord, we offer these requests to you today, Lord, as a needy people, Lord, a people that are, Lord, we're finite on this side, Lord, but we know there's something infinite down in us, Lord, that belongs to you. And Father, we just pray, oh God, that, Lord, the spirit that's in us would agree with your word today, Lord. And Lord, as we lift up these requests, Father, oh God, these minister brothers, the Brother Daniel and Brother Ron, Lord, it's, Lord, the devil would be attacking, Father, and Lord, our pastor, Lord, as he's just trying to get recharged, Lord Jesus, and Lord God, Lord, we just, all the requests, Lord, you heard them all, Lord, you know all about each and every one, Lord, our unspoken requests, you know all about it, Lord. Lord, we have put it into your hands today, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, as sincerely as we know how. We lift them up to you today, Lord. Lord, we're a needy people, Father. Lord, Sister Haven, Lord, we just pray, oh God, you just touch her body today, Lord. Lord, and just lift her spirit, Father. And Brother Nathan and his family, Lord, we just pray. Lord, you just shield them and protect them, Father, and keep them in your hands, Lord. And we just pray, God, that you just bless this church this morning, Lord. Lord, these musicians, this song service, Lord, bless it, Lord God, we pray. Lord, bless our songs, Lord, as we sing, Lord God. May it be pleasing to your ears, Father. Lord, may you be pleased to dwell with us this morning and inhabit the praise of your people. God, we just pray for our brother Trevor this morning, Lord. Lord, we pray you anoint him, Lord, to speak the word of God to us today, Lord. And Lord, may that word not come back void, Lord, but may it find good ground in our hearts today, we pray. And we'll give you the praise and the honor. We thank you for what you're about to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. God bless you now, Brother John.
Amen. You happy to be serving him this morning? Amen. You can have your seats for a moment. We'll do our reports this morning. I mean, how many? So, Brother Matt, I hope that means we're going to have a song this morning. So, I mean, appreciate our youth, appreciate the singing that they do. So, you ready to worship this morning? Amen. Are you just going to give you all to Him this morning? Forget about what your neighbor says and just say, God, here I am. Let me worship you this morning. Amen, Brother Mark.
I mean, you're ready to worship this morning. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning, if you will. I think it's an E flat. All troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Just humbling your hearts to God, saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Oh, my Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. Soon. Amen. We're looking forward to His coming this morning. Whoever would want to stay here, I don't, got to have something wrong this morning. Amen. Let's sing this. Thank you. And only Jesus can satisfy. Heaven too, only that's the truth this morning. Only Jesus can satisfy us today. Amen. Let's sing this. I believe it's in the key of G. Out on the water, storms raging high, the waters around them were troubled that night, and fear filled their heart, and they thought they would die, but they failed to remember that the Master was nigh. Oh, and He spoke the word, and the winds all stood still, and even the water, they obeyed His will, and He conquered the storm just like He will mine. If I'll just remember that He lives deep inside, so why should I worry, and why should I fear, when the very same Jesus, He stays always. Have His steps lead in mine, and to walk with the Master all of the time.
Oh, think about it.
So when trials come and death is so nigh, I just search for the Master. He said He'd be there on time, and when my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on His name. So why should I worry, and why should I fear, when the very same Jesus, He stays always. Trouble, if you just call on His name, He's ever present till the storm passes by this morning. We'll let you have your seats. We'll have our ushers to come and receive the morning offering you just give to the Lord. I know He'll bless your efforts today. It's good to have Brother Zion with us today. And I think he's got a song for us. So won't you come right ahead, and then we'll have our youth to sing for us today. Can we just sing this chorus while he's coming this morning? and the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all life's frustrations, I need you, and I know, and I peace that we have in Him this morning. Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
Amen. I'm happy to be in fellowship this morning. Just hope that this song is a blessing.
stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, I'll be crucified with you. Because death is just the doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in the suffering, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified.
To be magnified in us. Brother Matt, come right ahead. The young people is going to sing for us this morning. We're looking forward to us today. Immediately after the service today, we're going to have adult choir practice in the back, so keep that in mind, okay? nothing compares to the promise that we have in Him. If we could have our brothers come again this morning, this is the tithing you just give to the Lord as He has blessed you. And I know He'll bless you over and over again till your cup runs over this morning. Let's stand together, if you will, as we invite our brother Trevor this morning to deliver what the Lord has laid on his heart for us. You see, he's like a lion that's been caged up. He's ready to go this morning. We're ready to turn him loose, aren't we?
Amen.
Just let the Lord have his way in the service this morning. How many can testify, it is well?
Yes,
it is. It is well. Why don't we sing that this morning as we invite our brother to keep singing?
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea
That's your testimony today. It's well with your soul. The conditions of life, they don't matter. It is well with my soul. I don't have to worry about tomorrow because I know who holds tomorrow. Because if I'm truly in Christ, then I'm in the most wonderful place I could ever possibly be. Amen. As you have your Bible, as you're standing, if you take your Bibles, read Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Appreciated the song service and just an opportunity to be here. As the brother said, I missed service last Sunday because we were traveling and we were actually on a plane through service. So, and there was no Wednesday night service where we are. And I'm just like, I am so ready to be back with the saints of God. So Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, we read, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." If, just have you turn to one more before you're seated. Isaiah chapter 1. Now, I promise I'll be loud enough. So, amen. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 11 says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats." Can we just bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we're looking to you for the word this morning. It's not by any man or man's interpretation, but God, because you sent us the word, and then you set us a prophet, Lord God, to give us the revelation in this hour of what we needed. And so we are among the most blessed people on the face of the earth, Father, because we have the revelation that you've come. And that you're coming soon, Father. And we know the day and the hour in which we live, Lord. And we have vision, Lord Jesus. We have purpose, oh God, that you have shown us. Now, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to see. And Lord, would you speak to this people this morning? Just use me as a microphone, Lord God, to communicate your heart and your thoughts to these people. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. 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 You may be seated. You can also turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 20. And it echoing much of what Isaiah 1 and verse 11 says, Jeremiah 6 and verse 20 says, "To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba? And sweet cane from a far country. Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me." So this morning, we want to look at purpose and vision. Purpose and vision. So I've been just dealing with, Lord, how do I present this? And I really just don't know. So I'm going to keep talking and hoping that the Lord just really brings it out. So, and, you know, Zion said, "Oh, we're going to have Franken's sermon," which is kind of a combination of two different thoughts. And so don't worry, it's not two sermons. It's just one combined one that hopefully won't be long. I just started my timer, by the way, so it'll all be good. So we want to look at this vision and purpose. And I don't want to maybe throw out my critique of all other preachers. I don't want it to seem like I'm saying that. But one thing, as I've begun to look at how we're preaching to young people and the lives of young people and even the older people. So if you think I'm just preaching to young people and you can tune out, you missed something. But definitely in speaking to young people, I feel like a lot of times we're constantly getting people to sanctification. Yeah. or trying to keep them in a place of sanctification. But what does sanctification mean? What did Brother Branham tell us? That it's cleaned and set aside for service. So then if sanctification is cleaned and then set aside for service, then the Holy Ghost, what is it doing? Well, it's keeping me clean. Is that all? No, but it's beginning to put the power in you. See, you were clean at sanctification. You were cleaned and set aside for service. But you know, and we've seen this glass. You know, we have a glass right here. It's got water in it. It was cleaned. It was set aside for service. It was taken down. It was put water in it. And now the preacher gets to drink water while no one else does in the service. But let's not let that be, you know, a type of what actually is going on in our lives, that everyone else is cleaned and set aside for service, but only the preacher gets used actually in service. You know, as I look at what this message is saying, you know, that we've come out of denominations, we've come out of Nicolaitanism. We've come out of a place where we believe that, you know, just big, you know, popes and cardinals and bishops and priests and pastors are the only ones that do anything. The only difference between me and you is a different gift in our lives. That's all. I am no better or greater or anything like, no minister is. We have a different gift, a different calling. Some of us have, you know, there's five offices and not everyone has an office. But that doesn't mean the Holy Ghost doesn't live inside of you to work and to move and to have his being. And this is what the Holy Ghost does. And many times our preaching, you know, we have to combat the world too. And we know that. And the world is always trying to encroach upon our lives. The world is always trying to pull us into sin and pull us into this thing and that thing. And so the ministry as shepherds would want to say, no. Sheep stay over here. Sheep stay over here. Sheep stay over here. But at some point in time, it gets a little tiring saying sheep stay in the thing, when what we really want to see is if the sheep could catch the vision of who they are supposed to be, they don't require the constant pushing and prodding, but they begin to see, you know, who they are and their position, and they begin to take their position. And so I really want to see this come and to be talked about in our amongst us, to say that God has a purpose and a vision for each and every one of you.
Amen.
Amen. And this should be so simple, and it should be something that we know, but I want to look at what that is and what that actually does for us when we can catch a vision that God wants to use me. God has something for me to do. You see, when I was going to youth meetings when I was 19, 20 years old or so, I remember very distinctly, you know, if you want to call this my awakening moment, I had already received the Holy Spirit. I had received the Holy Spirit in 1997. This was probably 1999. I'm living a pretty decent life. You know, I'm a good young message brother, and I'm there in a service. And I remember distinctly Brother Ron Spencer reading the quote out of the Church Age book that said, "She under her messenger, the bride under her messenger, are the final voice to the final age." And I don't know if I just never heard that before or just the way, but in that moment, I remember it so distinctly, thinking, he's talking about me. And it changed something in my Christian walk, because I had been just living and trying to be, you know, the good young message boy that I was supposed to be. But it changed something in me, because it made me realize that there was more for me to do than sit on a shelf and be clean. And it worked something inside of me. It excited me. It gave me a hope. It gave me a vision that said, God, you want to use me. And that's amazing, because I'm worthless. So, okay, God, let's do this together. And I want everybody to have that moment to say, God, you want to use me? Let's do this. Let's go. I'm ready, God. Use me. I've been clean. I've been set aside for service. But now, God, I'm not just saying, oh, you know, God, it's about your glory. It's about your glory. And you should have a very nice china cabinet for your glory, Lord, with all kinds of nice dishes. And of course, at Thanksgiving, you know, we don't have a china cabinet. Maybe you are sisters, you forgive me. This is just me. And thank God he gave me a wife that sees things much like me. But I could care less about a china cabinet. I find them the most useless thing on the planet, because you have these amazing, beautiful dishes, and you think, hey, but they're for special occasions, right? And then you have too many people to come over, so you're going to use paper plates because it's easier, and who wants to watch all the dishes anyway? And we, you know, but our Christian lives can be like that sometimes. We want a whole china cabinet full of clean dishes in the church. And oh my, look at these. They're gold gilded on the edges. And, you know, over here we have the turquoise ones. And don't we have a lovely church? Well, what does your church do? Sits there? Looks lovely. Great. Good. Praise God, but there's more there. There's more there. And God wants to use you. And God put inside of you. He created. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And he made you in a specific way. Each one of you has different gifts, different callings, and a lot of them have to do with the way that God made you. Your just the abilities that God put in your life. Some of you, maybe you're good at art, or maybe you're good at this. Maybe you're good at your hands and working and doing things. You know, there's a lot of times when I say, well, that's why I became a web developer, because, you know, I know Brother Pat does tile and different things, you know, and there's a lot of times I see pictures of the work he does, and that's, amen? That's something I'm, you know, I ain't going to make it look that good. This beautiful kitchen you all have down here underneath us. I didn't do that. And if I did that, it wouldn't look like it looks. Because God, but that's not just natural talents. Like, that's not just talents that we've been given so that we can do a thing here on this earth. But God has unique talents inside of each one of you that he didn't just put there. Look, God made you amazing. I don't know if anybody's told you that lately. Especially when you look in the mirror and go, who am I? I'm nothing. I'm such a sinner. God made you amazing. He made you the way he wanted you to be. Now, can you invest in yourself and all of these different things? Absolutely. I'm not discounting any of that. But God has made you the way he made you for a purpose, so that he can use that thing for his glory. Because it's about his glory. But he's asking you to step up and say, hey, don't just be a piece of china in a china cabinet for my glory, but I'm asking for you to come out of the china cabinet and to see a purpose and a vision for your life. And it's not going to look like Brother Trevor's life. It's not going to look like Brother Pat's life. It's not going to look like Brother Jonathan's life, unless you're Brother Trevor, Brother Pat, or Brother Jonathan. Obviously, that was a joke. Okay, good. We're together. So, but it's going to look like you. You don't need to look like someone else. You shouldn't try to look like someone else, because God made you the way you just, everybody hug yourself. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But God had a purpose and a plan. God does nothing just haphazardly, or just like, oh, you know, splat, here's a bunch of people and they're all just whatever. No, he doesn't do that. But God, with infinite care and wisdom, created you the way he wanted you, because he had a plan and a purpose for your life, and he wants you to catch that, because he knows that he can use you for his glory and for his purpose. And this is what when you can catch that vision, and you can catch how amazing of a proposition that is, that God Almighty, the one of great care and wisdom, wants me to do something for him. Amen. And then you contrast that with the sins that have plagued you before, and suddenly that doesn't matter as much. And then the preachers aren't sitting there going, bam, stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this. Because you're like, I don't anymore, because I don't care, because I've been given a vision of something infinitely greater than that is.
And it's changed me so, from the inside, it's done so much for me, because now, like, I don't care about those other things. I want these other things. I have an ambition, and actually, now some of my trials are like, Lord, help me just make sure it's your will and not me thinking I'm amazing. But if we can, okay, so that was all four pages, and now we'll back up, and that was a nice big 10,000-foot overview. And now let's just back up and maybe go and just dive into this just a little bit. Because it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And so if all we're doing is saying, stay clean, stay clean, stay clean, and never giving a vision to you that God wants to use you and put you into service, and that you are what he made you for a purpose, then the people will perish. See, you've got to see that vision for you. Not that there's my truth and your truth. No, there's truth. But God has, because of your uniqueness, he has things he's asking you to do. So we have here in Isaiah 1:11, he says, what's the purpose of the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. So he's asking the question. Now, I think also in this, he's challenging them a little bit. He knows that they've gotten into traditions and rituals, and they don't really care about it. But isn't that the point of the question? To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? So their very expression of worship to God, God is saying, what's the purpose in it? Do you even know the purpose of your sacrifice? Do you know the purpose of the expression of your worship? And so God is asking, God sent me here today.
Come on.
Because he put it on the heart of your pastor to call me. So here you go. This is how the Lord is speaking. And he's asking you today, what is the purpose of your worship? Why are you doing what you're doing? Well, you know, can you imagine if, you know, these Israelites, what would they have answered? Well, Lord, you sent Moses. Moses says, if we sinned, we bring a lamb, we offer the lamb, and you forgive us. So we're just doing truth. We're just doing what you said, God. And now you're asking us, why are we doing it? Well, God, the reason why, you want to know why, God? Because you told us to.
Come on.
Why are you living the message? To what purpose is the holiness standard? To what purpose is that we're different from other denominations? To what purpose is the doctrines that we have and hold dear because they make Christ more alive to us? To what purpose is all of this? Why do we do these things? Well, because God sent a prophet and he showed us that these are the things we're supposed to do. And, you know, my parents told me this is what's right. Pastor said that. The tapes say that. We're just doing it, Brother Trevor, because it's truth and it's right, so we do it. Now, that's fine. That's fine, but there's more to it. There's a deeper emotion that goes along with the inside. And God is exposing to them in Isaiah that they've lost the purpose. They've lost the meaning of it. And when they lose the purpose and the meaning, they've lost all of it. I didn't care. It wasn't about the sacrifice. But the sacrifice pointed to something greater. The sacrifice pointed to something in you that was a problem that could be remedied and fixed to give you a vision that there's something greater. That there's a greater life, and that is the thing that you would be striving towards. And that there was one who was going to come that was going to solve these problems. That the sacrifices were going to end one day, but that the amen, the truth, the reality of realities was going to come and offer himself as the lamb to show you his love.
Amen.
And so we can, so he's asking, what's your purpose? And they're just saying, well, we're doing what truth says to do. This is the thing, and so here we go. And anytime, you know, you can reduce your whole religious experience down to this is the thing, so here we go, you've got problems. And not just that I'm saying you're doing it wrong. How dare you, bad church. Come on, get over it. Not, well, yes, this is true. That is kind of what I'm saying. But not only that, but that I'm trying to cast a vision of something greater that's more meaningful to you as well. That when you catch the reason of why are we doing these things, that God wants a called out church without spot or wrinkle that he can marry, you know? The bride, she comes down and she has a white dress. Well, without spot, without wrinkle, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, because what, you know, and so, and photographers, any photographers in here? None? Any aspiring, any people wish, okay. So if you were to do a wedding, like one of the main shots that you have at a wedding is the first look, you know? And so when those doors get open and the groom is standing here, was that photographer, are they on the bride? No, they're on the groom. Because he hasn't seen his bride dressed in white, spotless, and so wonderful yet. So the photographer's waiting there to see what's the reaction of the first look that the groom has of his bride. And so there's meaning. It's not just, hey, stop doing these things, stop doing these things. They look terrible. You should quit. Why? Because, you know, truth. People said so. Gets lame after a while, doesn't it? And it's a terrible thing when following the message just becomes lame. Because it's so much more than that. But it gets that way, and it gets that way because we lose the vision. We lose the purpose of the thing. And so then we're just sitting here going, I don't know why I'm doing it. And actually, there's other things that might have meaning to me. And what does that mean? And so maybe I want to do that. And so what does that mean? Well, that means you've lost the meaning of the thing you're doing, which is serving God. The message, you've lost the joy of loving Him, the joy of knowing Him. You've lost the joy of the expectation that one day there's a photographer with his eyes going to be just the eye of his camera focused right on Christ when the doors fling open to see you standing there. That there's a photographer that wants to catch the reaction of Jesus Christ when you walk into the room on that day. And if that's not something that just excites you, then you've missed kind of the point of all of what we talk about, and it's just become things to you that are just done because, well, truth, I guess. And so why would you do that? Why would you sit there and have a lame walk with Jesus Christ? It's not really a walk with Jesus Christ. You're just doing the things that you think are supposed to be done if you have a walk with Jesus Christ. You understand the difference now. And why would you be so miserable? And God is asking them, what's your purpose? Why are you doing this? Have you forgotten what this is about? And Church of Jesus Christ, today we should not forget what this is about. That it's a journey and a relationship with the King of Kings, with the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God. The mighty King wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to take your life and make it more than you ever thought possible. I just got back from Italy. You say, well, that's nice, Brother Trevor. Why were you in Italy? I got asked to do a wedding. Yeah, that confused a lot of people. That confused a lot of Italians. What do you? It was the guy who owned the. Oh, the venue that we had the wedding at, you know, he starts talking, you know, he sees me with the Bible, obviously assumes I'm the minister, starts talking to me in Italian. I said, I'm sorry, English. And he's like, I mean, just like, you know, he's just taken aback, like, what? Like, how is, you know, and he's more Italian. You know, he said, oh, English, and then more Italian, you know. But it was pretty obvious that he didn't understand why. He's like, well, you're from, you know, I think he thought, he must have heard that we were in Venice before we came to the wedding area. He's like, you're from Venice, but you speak English. And I was like, no, U.S. You know, and then he just left. Because why? Is there, Why did they bring a minister all? Like, is there no ministers in Italy at all? Like, that they could bring this guy from the U.S.? And it's like, yeah, you know, okay, we'd have to, you know, so much we'd have to unpack for you, you know. It's a common thread of doctrine across churches. We're not a denomination. You know, all those things that you would have to say to try to explain to somebody, you know, and people at work. It's like, wait, oh, that's amazing. You go to Italy. What, you know, what's, I said, yeah, I've been asked to do a wedding. And they had the same thing. Like, wait a second. Like, how do people in Italy know that you would come and do their wedding? And all I can say is, because of Christ in me. Because if you would have said, Trevor, 20 years ago, Trevor, do you ever think that as a minister you'd ever travel overseas and preach? Do you ever think you'd be asked to do weddings in Finland and Italy? And like, no. Like, yeah, right, no, not happening. Like, I don't know what guy you've got, but it's not me. But yet, because God has taken my life, and I'm not praising Trevor here, I'm just saying God did all of these things and made my life so much better than I ever thought possible. And not only have I done amazing things, but I feel amazing. Like, there's purpose, there's meaning in my life. There's so many people that are so narcissistic and nihilistic and all of those fancy words that just mean they're just focused on themselves and like that the world is going to end because of climate change or whatever. And so why? We might as well just stop caring about anything because it's all going to, didn't AOC say like 12 years? And that was probably like 3 years ago. So there you go. You got 9 years left. So why care? I don't live like that. I don't have that hopelessness. I have hope. I have peace. I have joy. And it's not just, you know, psychological emotions, but it is the reality of Jesus Christ that gives me something to hang on to that's more real than I'm standing in front of you right now. Because there's a reality of Christ that when we serve Him and we know Him and we love Him and we're filled with His Holy Spirit, that His whole presence comes on the inside of us, His life is in us, and He gives us purpose, He gives us vision, which we don't perish when we have. As saith the scripture. And I don't want to perish. I don't want to just sit there and live my life in vanity. If I'm going to serve God, I'm going to serve Him with purpose and with vision. Amen. So he's asking him, what's your purpose? Why are you doing these things? And I don't know that they had a good answer. But they kept on doing their thing over and over again. God says, I don't even care anymore. And how bad would that be to sit there and live a message life and God say, I just don't even care anymore because you've totally missed it. Well, that's not why the message came. Right. Amen. Right. So you've got to ask yourself, because God's asking you today, what's your purpose? What's your purpose in serving the Lord?
Amen.
And because I was told to, it's not a good answer. And I'd ask you to search deeply and find out much more than because I was told to. Brother Branham says in the message, I will restore. Here comes Israel through the wilderness, walking in God's provided way. He says, hallelujah. If I get a little emotional, will you excuse me? Anything without emotion is dead. I was once dead, but I'm made alive, quickened by Christ Jesus. When I walked in those old formal orders back there one day, the Lord pulled me out of it. So he says, anything without emotion is dead. And of course, we use this little quotation of the prophet quite often, you know, and that's why you guys, you know, I could just start chastising you with, you know, don't have enough emotion. You know, if you were at a ball game, you'd have more emotion right now. And how dare you be so dead? Why don't you get off your feet and actually start praising the Lord and show me that you have actually a little life? And then I would just say, like, to what purpose is your standing and your worshiping? And is it just because I told you to? Is it just because you got a little excited? I always talk about it at our church. They make fun of me now. I've done it so much, so maybe I shouldn't start doing here, but I already started, so we better go with it. I talk about like blue lights and smoke machines. I'm like, wouldn't it be great if we had blue lights and smoke machines in the church? You know, you just light it up and just, you know, and then you have the song, the interlude and the song, you know, where you sit there and you sway and just like, oh, Jesus, just, you know, just, man, emotional, right? Like it really just gets you, right? That's not what we're talking about. That's not the emotion we're talking about. Like that's nice. It's, you know, ooshy-gooshy and like, oh, stars in your eyes and this is so great, you know, and then and then it's over because you turned the blue lights off and the smoke machine off. And then I had another quote, so let's read that. Now, being that I'm speaking the Assembly of God Church amongst Pentecostal people, now I've learned to love Pentecostal people. They're my brothers and sisters. But many times defining our own ranks of Pentecost, that sometimes our atmosphere becomes an emotion instead of worship. And that soon dies out and the members become one thing and another. But if we could ever get a group of people together where there was a genuine Holy Spirit atmosphere, a sacredness and sincerity and worship, and men and women sitting there are God conscious and know that the great omnipotence of God is present. You see, if you're God conscious, if you're coming into church sitting here recognizing that you believe that God himself is going to be in this service, you do not need blue lights, you do not need a smoke machine, you do not need the song service to whip you up, you do not need the preacher to whip you up. Because you know that God will be here. When you wake up in the morning, you know that God is there with you. There's a sincerity to your worship. There's something there on the inside of you that's an emotion, but not the oochie-gooshy kind, but something in there that's a knowledge, an emotion that says, I know that he is. And then that he's with me, and that he loves me, and that he's for me, and that I'm with him. Now, see, that's something now. Now we've really got an emotion that actually does something other than just makes us feel great, and you leave the service, and it's like, wow, wasn't that an amazing service? Well, what did God do for you?
There it is.
I mean, it was an amazing service, though, right? But what did God do for you? Was there something that anchored down deep that gave you an assurance, that gave you peace, that gave you hope, that gave you strength in your life to serve God, to be set about your purpose of displaying to the world the glory of God in whatever way that God has called you to do that? Amen. He says it'll have an effect. He says that are God conscious, that know the great omnipotence of God is present, ready to do all things without one shadow of a doubt. It'll even have an effect upon the unbelievers that's setting in this evening. You can never come into that atmosphere without something happening. In the message pardon, he says, no sincerity, no real sorrow for sin. Now, talking about Isaiah chapter 1 here, this is their problem. They had no sincerity. They had no sorrow for sin. So how about you? Where in your walk here, in your Christian walk, in your message walk, however we want to call it, do you have the sincerity there? Do you have the real sorrow for sin? He said he'd hide his face from their rituals. Their prayers were powerless. They prayed. Oh, sure. How many in here pray? Why? Why do you pray? Because you know you're supposed to. Because you were taught in Sunday school, read your Bible and pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And that's what you've been taught. And so, okay, this is the thing I do to become a better Christian. That's a terrible answer. Or is it because you want to commune with God? Because there's someone there that you want to talk to. It's not that it's like, well, I talk to my husband, my wife because, you know, every day because, well, I'm supposed to. Don't tell her that, brothers. But you are supposed to. Like, but don't you want a good marriage? You better talk to your wife every day. You're supposed to. It's truth. It'll help you. It'll make for a good marriage. But is that why? Because you're supposed to? Because that's how it works. It's just what you do. No. It better be more than that. There should be an emotion that's on the inside. And this is exactly what we're talking about with Christ. I pray because I'm God conscious. I want to be with him. I don't know. We have a sister that in our church that has a lot of family in Utah, and I don't know if you heard on the news. I was in Italy, so we heard over text, so I don't know if it hit news or whatever, but apparently like a whole bunch of miners were trapped in a big fire in Utah, and they were all calling their families, you know, telling them we're probably not going to get home. And we heard that prayer request, and we were in our room, and said, we got to pray right now, because that just It just got me. I just thought, I can't imagine being a miner stuck in a mine because there was a fire between me and being out of the mine. And thinking, I'm never going to get out of here. I've got to say goodbye to my family. And that really got to me. And I said, honey, we got to pray. We got to call on God. And so we did. And I just said, God, I can't imagine what this is like. I just, you know, Brother Branham talks about putting yourself in the feeling of the people. And I was just there. And I said, God, show up and show off here. Like, save these miners. I don't know if they're Christians. I don't care. But they have families that they're calling and saying they're going to be without them for now. And that's terrible. And no one should have to go through that. God, come. And every single one of those miners is safe today. And it looked like they couldn't. Why? Because we're God conscious. We know we know we can go to Him. And we didn't just pray because it's like, well, we got a church prayer request thread, says there's some miners. Dear Jesus, please do this. Thank you. You know, okay, we did that. No! Don't reduce your experience to something like that. It's so much more. It's so much greater. And that we serve a mighty God who's sitting there just saying, please, bring me your problems. I care about you. Each and every one of you I care about, and I would like for you to come to me, and I'll take the care. I'll take responsibility. I'll take obligation for you. Would you just come to me? How wonderful is that? That's why we pray. Because there's something there. There's a purpose in it. There's a vision that He has for us. Someone that we can be in Him. And we want to be a part of that. He says, oh, they prayed. Oh, sure. They went up there and said prayers. And they offered their sacrifice. It just become a form. He said, did you know in 2 Timothy, the third verse or the third chapter of 2 Timothy, we're told the same thing that we'd get in the last days. The Bible said here, in the last days, know this. Time would come when men would be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for this is the sort that go from house to house, leading silly women away with divers lusts and ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. The Bible predicts that the hour would come when the church would get in the same tradition they was there by their rituals. Here it is again, a traditional religion, powerless. So I ask you, is He talking about denominations here? Or is He only talking about denominations here? Or is this something that we can take and we can learn from and we can look at our lives and go, hang on a second, is my religion ritualistic? Is my religion a form? Is my walk lacking in actual emotion, actual desire, and purpose for Jesus Christ? So I think we should look at that in our lives. God, am I fulfilling the right purpose? Am I doing the right things but not doing it for the right purpose? God, may my actions be a layer on top of the purpose and the true emotion of my heart. John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24 says, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Amen. Now, I've always thought it would be great. I've always wanted to do one of those viral type videos or just kind of, I don't know. I like to entertain, and I like to, you know, do fun videos and things like that. And so I've always had this great idea. I've always wanted to have like a big group of people like have a plaza that has a diagonal street that way and a diagonal street that way and have a bunch of people over there with signs that, like picket signs or protesting signs that say truth on them. And then a group down this lane, and they all have picket signs that say spirit, you know. And then you have them all coming down, and then they meet, you know, and then they start kind of, you know, spirit, truth, spirit, you know, like as if they didn't like each other.
Come on.
You get the point, I think. Like, and then maybe one guy come up and it's just like, spirit and truth? Like, can we have both? Like, because can't we? Like, do we have to just be so truthy that we're like, well, bless God, truth, 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 or so spirity that we're like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, you know, praise God every service. It's like your life is in shambles. Well, you know, I enjoy church. How about we just take a little bit of both? And we bring them together and we worship God in spirit and in truth. We worship God with purpose, with vision, with true emotion in our hearts that makes us live happy and joyful in the spirit, but also keeps us very centered and grounded in truth so we know who we are, we know where we stand, which only serves to make us get way more into the spirit, which only makes us want more truth, which only makes us get... You can see that these two things work together and support one another and strengthen one another, and so we should be able to live and worship in spirit and in truth, but the devil would love to push us to extremes. He'd love us to be so truthy that we're, you know, lame sauce, and he'd love us to be so spirit-filled that we're, well, like the wind and not really grounded. But we can be both. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to illustrate this because this is part of the inspiration for some of the sermon. At youth camp this year, BYC, back in July, we went to our bonfire evening, and on the way back, I had a young brother approach me, and he said, you know, Brother Trevor, I just want to be more dedicated. I thought, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. What does that look like, brother? Well, I guess pray more, read my Bible more, and listen to more tapes. Well, that's good. That's good. When will you be dedicated enough? And he's like, well, not what I expected you to say. This is a really good brother. I don't really mean to make fun of him at all, but he wanted, I appreciated what he wanted in his heart. Because he wants to be closer to God. He wants to be more dedicated. He wants to be more sincere. I want to do the right things, Brother Trevor. I want to serve God. And I was like, okay, you know, what's the formula? How do you think you're going to do that? You know, what's to say that you're not there now? Well, what's your metric? You know, it's like, well, I know I'm not there now. Why? Well, because I just have a feeling that I'm not there right now. It's like, okay, but so what's the metric that when you're there? Like, how many tapes is enough? How much Bible reading is enough? How much prayer is enough? And he knew that I was giving him the wrong answer. Like, he was like, I know, like, he would not stand there and say, like, oh, yeah, I guess one tape a day, 2 hours of Bible reading, and an hour of prayer, I would be dedicated enough. Because there was something in him that said, that is so wrong. We can't reduce the message to just time. Time doing the right things. And so he just couldn't go there. I said, look, brother, I'm not going to just give you the right answer. I'm just going to keep peppering you with questions until we kind of get there together, because I don't want to just give you an answer. That's boring. And then, you know, like, are you going to learn anything in that? And he's like, oh, okay. So I just kept peppering him with questions. It's like, okay, you know, and just making him, like, think in his mind and process why won't, I was like, look, you won't say that this is enough, but yet you know that because you don't do more of those things, you don't feel like you're dedicated enough. So what's dedicated enough? What does that look like? And so we begin to talk about this, and you know, and it lasted the 5-minute walk into the dorm, and then I think about half the dorm came around and everybody was just like, wait, this or that, and we just had this great conversation with them all just saying stuff and me asking more questions, trying to draw out the essence of what they were saying and what they were wanting, and what they wanted was more of Christ. But their answers were things. But doing things isn't necessarily more of Christ. And that's why I said, what does dedicated enough look like? At what point are you confident in your relationship with Christ, that you're in a spot with Christ that you know? Like, God, yes, there's times. Look, I was just thinking about You know, well, I was on an airplane, so I missed church last Sunday. Do you think I felt bad about that?
Come on.
Brother Trevor, you missed church. Like, of course you felt bad. Like, I didn't feel bad for missing church. I was on a plane to Italy with my wife. Like, no. Sorry. I was like, we're never going to have this guy back to preach. Doesn't even care about church. Yes, I do. I don't worry about missing church because I've not missed church for the wrong reason in a very, very, very long time. Because the sum total of my Christian experience isn't in how many times I've gone to church this week, which is almost 3 weeks, three times a week, almost every week. But sometimes I miss, and when I do, I don't sit there and repent because I miss church, because in my heart, I've got the relationship with Christ. Now, don't take what I just said and use that as an excuse and lie to yourself that you love Christ and you use the excuse that Brother Trevor gave you. Wrong. But if you truly have this in your heart and you're like, I love, Lord, you know I love you. I desire to be with God's people. I desire to worship you at every moment of my day. And you miss church, you're not going to say, oh, God, I failed you. Really? Are our relationships so fragile with Christ that to miss church one time, it just destroys our, like, now we've got to repent for like 2 weeks before we can. No, that's not. Like, we've put the things and the ritual and the form over the actual knowledge of Jesus Christ, over the actual relationship with Jesus Christ that we can have that is a reality in our lives. And so this is what the young men were dealing with as I began to talk to them. The idea, the essence of it is, do you love Christ? And is that love growing in you? And is your relationship getting stronger because of the time you spend with Him, which does entail tapes and Bible and praying and all of these things. But the essence of it, the purpose, is Him as a person that you can know. And I found that there were even young men who would have anxiety in their lives because they weren't doing it good enough. Yes, sir. Can you imagine these Israelites bringing a lamb to be sacrificed and going, I'm not sure if my lamb is good enough. Am I lambing well enough here? Did I bring the right sacrifice? Am I sacrificing the lamb well enough? Like, is the lamb good? Yes, the lamb is a good lamb that's acceptable for sacrifice, and I've brought the lamb for sacrifice, but is it good enough? Wait, the idea is that you're bringing a lamb because you're not good enough. So you've brought a lamb for sacrifice. I was in Africa this April, and every service, I use this quote because it's so meaningful. Brother Branham said the sin question was settled at Calvary. The sin question was settled at Calvary. Oh, but Brother Trevor, it's Calvary. You have a question about your sin? Calvary. Go ahead, ask. Anybody? Anybody? Oh, brother. Calvary. The sin question was settled. It's over. It's finished. It's done. You don't have to worry about it. God settled it at Calvary. Says He doesn't want you focusing on the sins. He wants you focusing on Him. So He said, you know what? Forget about all of that. Focus on me. Because as you have a vision of me and focus on me and me in your life and you in my life, oh, man, the sins, it's like, what is that? I don't even care anymore. Because the sin question is settled. I don't worry about it anymore. Do I fail? Yes. Do I feel terrible? Yes. The sin question is settled. And so I can focus on Him. And so then let's talk about, well, am I doing it good enough, you know? Am I getting the things out of my life enough? Am I sanctifying enough? Am I doing this enough? Am I, you know? And I had a conversation with this young man, and he said, you know, well, you know, I like music, and sometimes I listen to the wrong kind of music, and I just struggle with that in my life, and I, you know, and these things, and if I don't get these things out of my life, and I don't get the Holy Ghost, and if I don't get the Holy Ghost, there's no good girl, message girl that would ever have me, and so I'll never be married. And so, true conversation, I'm not joking.
Come on.
How many are there? How many have felt that? Come the on. Pressure, the anxiety, you're not messaging enough. Yeah, that's right. get back on the shelf and clean your life up, people. Let's go. And some of us have heard that so much that it's in our very minds. It's in and it produces anxiety in our lives because I'm not the model plate on the shelf in the china cabinet. So now I have anxiety. And I don't know if I'll ever be married because no good girl would have me. And I mean, part of me laughed because I was like, you're so, like, wonderful, brother. Like, you're just like I wish there were more brothers like you without the anxiety. But I wish there were some that were so concerned about this, that made this such a thing in their lives that they wanted, like, just, I want God so much. But, you know, in this particular brother, he's very detail-oriented. He overthinks things and, you know, different things. But, you know, it's like... But it produced all this anxiety. It's like, bro, the sin question is settled at Calvary, and God made you awesome.
Come on, amen.
He's like, what? And I said, and he's a musician. And he likes music, and so that's he struggles in the thing of music. And I was like, you're on the altar like every other week praying for God to take this music thing away from you, aren't you? He's like, well, yeah. And I was like, no, God is never going to take that from you. Do you know why? Because God gave that to you. You're just channeling it in the wrong way. But God wants to use that thing that you're sitting there petrified of because the Satan is trying to warp it and you're petrified of that thing. But that's the very gift that God put in your life that you can bring glory and honor to Him. So no, He's not going to take that away because He put that in you and it's awesome. And many of us are scared of the things that we're just using in the wrong way. But if we get our focus on Jesus Christ, those things would turn towards Him and be used for Him because we need that vision to see God wants to use me. God loves me. He settled the sin question. This message isn't ritual. It isn't form, but it's to bring you to a spot where you know Him and you can love Him and be drawn to Him. It's not, oh, Brother Trevor, am I messaging enough? Am I doing it good enough? I've known brothers who wouldn't take communion until they felt like their lives were perfect. Well, because we all know that you're not supposed to take it unworthily, or you'll be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So, well, okay, yeah, fair enough, but you'll never be perfect. Like, when will you be perfect enough to take communion? And then when you're there, why are you taking communion? To symbolize that you needed the blood and broken body of Jesus Christ for your life.
Come on.
What's the purpose? What's the vision? He gives us this to show we take it. Yes, if we're just sitting there boozing every day, we should probably not be taking communion. But be honest in your heart. God, am I trying to live for you? Then come and take the communion that just look, it's communion. It's communing with Christ as you sit there and you take a cup that represents the blood that He sacrificed for you to cover your sins and settle the sin question. And you're sitting there saying, God, what you did for me. Why? Because you love me so much. That's powerful. You don't just, you know, I hope you're not just coming up and taking communion. It's like, oh, there we go, done the communion thing. Well, that's Isaiah chapter 1. But to come up and recognize, God, I know what this symbolizes. I know what the meaning is here.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, God. Your love for me is overwhelming.
Amen.
It shouldn't be this way, but it is. And so if you have anxiety in your life because you're not doing it good enough, I would say, what's the purpose? What's the vision that you have? We've been having some youth Bible studies at our church. We do it once a month, and the last couple of months, and then on into next month, we've been listening to the Holy Ghost series tape, and so we've listened to the tape in church. We broke it up into two services, and we handed out books and told all the young people, put your name in the book, you make highlights, you make notes, whatever you want to do, and then youth Bible study night, we're going to discuss what you liked, questions you have, any. We're going to discuss this tape, book club style, whatever style you want to say. We're going to just spend our time in each of these tapes, and so And so that's what we did. And we had one sister that came, a young married couple that I've been trying to gently bring into some youth ministry stuff. And so the sister came and she said, when we asked, like, what was the quote that you liked out of that tape? And she said, she read this one. She says, "You fill that little woman with the Holy Ghost one time and watch what takes place. When she goes before God, she is not defeated. She comes boldly to the throne of God believing. She has a right because she's a daughter of God by birth." And that's out of the tape, "What Was the Holy Ghost Given For?" And she said, "I liked this quote because I've battled with the idea that women are less than spiritually because we are the weaker vessels. But this quote shows that with the Holy Ghost, God also gives us boldness. The Holy Ghost is for women too. And through it, we have the authority to go to God in prayer. Amen. And we have the authority to turn hell inside out." Amen. And I loved how she said this because I just appreciated that. Like, I don't always think about that. And so I wanted to bring this to you before some of you sisters to say that maybe you think that there's nothing for me to do. Maybe some of you single sisters, it's like, well, I'm not married, so I can't serve a husband, and I can't have raised children for God. And so what is a single sister to do? To serve Christ. To have the Holy Ghost in their life. To let God use the gifts and callings in their life. And the Bible has all kinds of women that were serving and doing things for Christ. There's a place for you. If you have a vision to see what he has for you. But this is in no way negative. But God has positive things and a desire to see you be used for his glory. Oh, what a God we serve. So John chapter 14 and verse 1. My timer has about 5 minutes on it, so. John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And if you look in John chapter 14, he then begins to tell them about things that are going to come to pass in their future. But he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And so he starts this, we're going to go through and these are things that are going to happen with your lives to show them, but he starts it with saying, you don't have to fear. I hold the future. I know what's going on. I, as if he's saying, I am the source. Believe in God. Believe in me. I am the source. Believe in me. Worship me. Follow me. Be with me. And you don't have to let your heart be troubled. But Brother Trevor, like, all of these things. Like, I've been trying to do it all right, and I fail so often. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in Jesus Christ. That's not just words. But there's such meaning underlying those words that tell us that he is reality. That he is there. That he cares and that he loves you. And this is the purpose. And because you can, when you can grab that purpose, then you can begin to understand that he has something he wants you to do. And it's not a china cabinet. He wants you to get there, but he doesn't want to keep you there. There's a much larger purpose for you, and it's a purpose of love that God has for you to do something for him. God will literally stand at the rafters of heaven looking down and seeing you serving him, being filled with his Holy Spirit, letting your gift and your life and your presence near other people's lives begin to show Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It didn't stop when Brother Branham, he didn't die when Brother Branham died. But he's still Hebrews 13:8. And how is he Hebrews 13:8? He's Hebrews 13:8 in your life. Amen. To other people, will see Jesus Christ because they'll see him in you as you are just you with Jesus Christ on the inside. And God looks at this and smiles in love saying, that is my child, that is my daughter, that is my son. Have you ever had it happen where you're just in this spot and you just weren't even expecting something and then all of a sudden somebody says something, somebody asks a question and you're like, oh, yeah, no, it's this and this and this And this person is like profoundly struck by you just being there. Like, I didn't pray before this moment. I didn't know someone was going to ask me this question. I didn't know. But you can kind of see, like, wow. You know, as many worldly people would say, like, that was a God moment. And maybe you've been in that situation where somebody, you've said something and somebody even said that to you. They're like, whoa, that was a God moment. And you're just kind of like, well, I mean, I don't want to be arrogant or anything. But, I mean, he does live inside of me. And God is happy. And God is smiling because you are being Him on this earth. That's what I'm talking about. Like that feeling right there that you get when you think about that. And you're like, yes, me. Please, Lord. Yes. That's the vision. Because that's what God wants to do in your life. And He gave us all of this word. And He gave us all of these instructions to give us His character so that we could mold ourselves into that place to where He could use us to do that thing right there. But not just once. But over and over and over again as He sees fit and as He wants to just use you. And you're like, Brother Trevor, what am I supposed to do? Live. But live for Him, live with Him, live in Him. Let Him just use what He's already put in you to bring glory to Him. Like, Brother Trevor, I don't know, am I going to do it right? Stop the anxiety. Believe that Jesus is going to do it because He filled you with His Spirit. And you know, as you learn and you grow, you'll just know that unction and that tug of the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing. And you'll recognize, like, oh, I felt like I shouldn't probably do that, so I went this direction, and then I looked over there and saw why. And then you think, well, what was that? Well, still small voice. Yeah. That's amazing life. And you say, well, sometimes we have troubles. Yes, but we have Him. Sometimes there's this. Sometimes there's yes, but we have Him. Yeah. And it gives us the emotion. It gives us the vision. It gives us the purpose. And it makes it all work right and be right, and we just know, like, okay, even if it's not going what I would say is right, but yet He's there with me, so hallelujah. I don't have to worry. I don't have to struggle. Hallelujah. So we understand the goal that God gives us. Just a couple, well, one more scripture here. 1 Corinthians 9:9-10, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of for the oxen? Or saith it he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. So that's an interesting scripture, Brother Trevor. We suddenly talked about plowing and in hope, and I don't really understand why you read that. Anybody feel that? Just checking. So, okay. He that ploweth should plow in hope. And if you, let's say you have a son and you live back in the days when you had to put a plow behind an ox and, you know, a son had to do hard labor and plow. And the son thinks, why am I doing this? This is terrible. This is hard work and it's dirty and I'm hot and it's not fun and I'd rather go fishing. Okay, but if you can get the son to recognize, like, yes, but if you don't catch enough fish to augment the corn that we're not going to have, it's going to be a very tough winter, then maybe he has a little hope. Maybe he has a little vision that's going to make it, because if you have a son that's just plowing because he's told to plow and recognizes nothing more than what is done because I'm just plowing because I was told to, and he's not plowing in hope for the future harvest that's going to be there, then he's a miserable kid indeed. I don't want to be miserable. I want to know why. I want to have the vision. I want to have the hope. I don't want to have anxiety. I don't want to have fear. I don't want to just be walking around downcast like, oh my goodness, this is just terrible. My parents are always on me. The preachers are always on me. And I just, you know, I can't be the perfect plate on the shelf. I don't try. I don't try to be the perfect plate on the shelf. I just try to walk with Him. He'll clean it. And He will be that. But if you focus on just being the perfect, this, that, or the other, it's going to be miserable for you. And to those that maybe are sitting there going, I don't know, this life has been hard. I chafe against my parents' rules, and I don't like this, and I don't like that, and this whole thing has been a drag. Then I would just say, you've lacked the vision of what God is trying to do. You've lacked the hope that He has for your heart. You've never actually connected to the purpose. And you're like those in Isaiah chapter 1, that God is just saying, what's your purpose in this? And God's not a taskmaster. He's not cruel. He's not mean. He's not sitting there on a throne saying, oh, you must do this. You've missed who Jesus Christ is. Because the same one that said, let there be light, came as a man to die for you. And He came as a person. He came as a person for a reason, because as a person, He's like you. And He can have a relationship with you. And He came as a person so that He could walk on this earth and understand. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to be you. He knows what it's like to be 12. He knows what it's like to be 16. I bet you He felt like He was 70 at some point in time, even though He didn't live to be 70. But you understand the point. He knows what it's like to be you, to have a relationship with someone who knows what it's like to be you. And this is what God is asking for. This is the purpose of all of this. Every word that we have is nothing but declaring who He is. It's not declaring what you should do. It's declaring who He is and what He likes. And then you make that decision. Do I want to please someone who's so amazing like that? Or do I want to go my own way? But if you are choosing to say, yes, Brother Trevor, I'm a believer, then I would encourage you, what's the purpose? And what's your vision? Has God given that to you? Because that's what I would seek after. Is not God, am I doing it well enough? But God, let me see you for who you are. Let me know you. And then all of those things will just work themselves out. I have a friend who often just had a hard way of it. He often tells me, Brother Trevor, I just hope I make it. So what are you going to do? Like, you're not doing, like, I fail a lot, Brother Trevor, and I'm this and that. I've got these struggles and these problems, and I just, you know. And so and he's been part of this book club that we've had, reading books on prayer and different things, and from some, like, old authors. We read a George Mueller book, and, you know, and sometimes we just, you know, we just throw the book down and say, come on! You know, it's like, oh, I'll never live up to that. And every now and then he'll do that, and he's just like, man, it just obviously, like, it'll just only be the grace of God that anybody makes it after reading that. And it's like, was that a new revelation to you?
Absolutely.
That it's going to be the grace of God that any of us make it. I hope if you haven't caught that revelation, that this morning you catch the revelation. It will be the grace of God that anyone makes it. Only the grace of God. Solely the grace of God. I don't know, individually the grace of God. I want to say it like 5 more times with a different word, for this is the only possible way you will make it, is the grace of God, which just shows the love of Jesus Christ to you as an individual. It's not about what you'll do, but it's about what He has already done. And God is inviting you to love Him, to grow in Him, to see who He is. So what's your purpose? To be a plate on a shelf? Or to let that one live inside of you and make you greater than and more than you ever thought you'd ever be? Musicians can come. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, I've just tried to cast this vision, oh God, of what's in my heart, Lord. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just take these words and quicken them to the hearts of the people, Lord. May you do what you wanted to accomplish with it, Lord. But Father, may we have the right purpose. And Father, may I just pray that you'd open the eyes of each one here to see the vision that you have for their lives. What it is, Lord, I don't know, Father, for each individual, but Lord, you know. And you've got a plan and you've got a vision. And Father, we're so thankful for your love and your grace to us. We're thankful that the sin question has been settled at Calvary. Lord, I pray that we would just bask in your love and respond to it in the way that you would like us to respond. But Father, may we never forget that it's about God is love. Bless our day now. Bless us together, we ask. Draw each and every heart to you. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I just wonder if there's anyone that this has spoken to. Maybe we could just pray as the music plays softly for just a few minutes. I just want you to have opportunity to, I don't want to just sing and worship and go out and start our day, but I just like an opportunity that you might reflect and that you'd have just a few moments to talk to him about these things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, you're good. You love us, oh God, so much. Just as we begin to sing, if you just need the time to talk to God, then you just talk to God. And we just sing and praise his name, but I don't want you to come out of that. And if you need time, you could come for prayer, but well, it's probably him that you need to talk to and not me that needs to pray for you. Be happy to do it, but it's a walk with him.
He's so good, God, so good, God, he's so good, he's so good to God is so good. God is so good. God, oh, you're so good. He's so good to
sing, I love him so.
I love him so.
more time together.
Come down during the service. Speaks to us in such a mighty way. Why are you doing these things? I couldn't help but write down on my own questions. You know, several years ago, I went through it in my life. Why do we live the way we live? Why do we worship the way we worship? It isn't just because someone told you to. Amen. There's a great calling from the deep calling to a seed inside of you. Do you have that vision this morning?
Amen.
Amen. If you don't, it's there for you. He's right here in the presence. If you need your eyes opened, he's right here. Amen. As we sing again, you reach out to him. Take a few more minutes. It ain't going to hurt us this morning. God's here to answer prayer this morning. God's here to speak to you this morning. As we sing again, lift your hands up to him. Not because I told you to, but because you love him. Because you want to worship him this morning. Because you look in your life and you see what he's done for you. You look at yesterday and the day before and you think, God, you've been good to me. God, I don't just want to worship you this morning. Amen. Let's sing it again or something else, my Lord. Amen.
Don't lose,
oh, worship him this morning.
Your vision of Jesus.
Oh, don't take your eyes off of him.
Keep your eyes ever on him. You have heartache and to bear. Sing it with me now. All, don't lose your vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes ever on Him.
Speaking through a vessel this morning. I believe it's in perfect time. I believe it's in perfect rhythm of what this church needs. Keep our eyes focused upon Christ. Amen. You believe that? You appreciate that this morning? Was you blessed by it? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. As we dismiss our online audience, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, come. Be with us, be in service. I believe we're having a good time in the Lord. I believe His words keep flowing. Amen. Brother Mark, let's just sing.